Hey, hey, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, November 16th, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I am your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. Listen, I think you'll agree, we have been on quite a roll with the Sex Wisdom series. Over the last couple of months, I've been able to bring you a wide variety of intelligent and thought-provoking interviews with some of the most interesting movers and shakers in the field of human sexuality. People who are making the news and helping us take a fresh look at our sexual selves. Today, I'm happy to add to that illustrious lineup, and I don't even have to leave the Emerald City to do so. I am proud to welcome to my show fellow therapist Kristen Napick. Curiously enough, despite living in the same town, being in the same line of work, and having numerous friends and colleagues in common, Kristen and I met for the first time just recently. That's not to say that I didn't know of her. I certainly did. I heard tell of her remarkably innovative style and the uniquely sensitive outreach she brings to her private practice. So when we finally met, it was like meeting an old friend. And I think you'll be as impressed as I when you meet her in a few moments. After you listen to the show, Kristen suggests that you visit her on her site, rethinktherapy.wordpress.com. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up my How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video Library tab. The How-To Video Library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh-so-informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? Okay, on with the show. Welcome, Kristen, and thank you for dropping by drdicksexadvice.com. It's a joy to have you, a fellow therapist, join me for this Sex Wisdom podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Dick.
And now that you're here, would you like to say hello to the really nice people?
Do I have to say hello to the really nice people?
You can, because we're also going to say hello, I think, to the load of big fat perverts who are also in our audience.
All right, then. I'll say hello. Hello, darlings.
Because they know a really good thing when they hear it, and yeah. I'm happily add myself to that latter category of big fat perverts.
Nice. Then I'll say hello to you, too.
good. So, I have to start our conversation with a confession.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard about you and your work long before we met at Sandra's party last month, and
yeah.
I actually wondered how long it would be until we ran into each other, because it's funny how people like you and I, who do similar work and run in some of the same circles,
right,
can miss each other for as long as we did.
I feel the same way, actually. For weeks, probably months before the party, I'd heard my friends talk about Dr. Dick's sex advice and sort of wondered, why haven't I talked to this guy? I'm glad to finally be doing that and connecting the world.
Yeah. And you were so easy. I mean, I pitched you and said, okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go then. So
I love to talk about my work. I love what I do.
Good. And that seems perfectly clear to me in the little that I know of you. And so I'm going to be discovering you right along with our audience. So one of the main reasons I wanted to chat with you for this series is that you make a special outreach in your private practice to kinksters and other sexual minorities. So let's start our conversation there, okay?
All right.
So the thing I often hear from kinksters and pervs, as well as your run-of-the-mill gay and lesbian folks, is they often are frustrated in their search for sex-positive and kink-positive healing and helping professionals. And I suppose that you are equally attuned to this pressing concern, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what you see and hear.
When it comes to that subject, it's very common for me to hear. I offer new clients a 20-minute no cost, come into the office, meet me,
How
see if
cool.
you feel comfortable, that kind of thing, because I know what it's like, how important it is to find a therapist with whom I can tell my whole truth.
Right. Good, good, good.
It needs to be a safe place to do that. And the problem is that therapists are people, and sometimes they have prejudices.
Yes.
So in the 20 minutes that I offer, that's my way of saying, come on in, no risk,
Right.
feel me out. And I hear things all the time, like when I talked to my last therapist about my family being myself, my wife, my girlfriend, and my boyfriend, that therapist would then talk to me about my family, and the therapist would put family in quotations. And how belittling that feels to people, and how important it is to me that I be open to serving a community, my community, in such a way that normalizes exactly what you're doing, who you are, who you love, how you love.
Right. And
This is.
you said something just a moment ago about therapists' prejudices, and we all have them.
Yes.
Let's be honest, and we all do, even those of us who consider ourselves relatively enlightened.
It's true.
But there's also an issue that a lot of therapists have absolutely no training, not only in human
Oh,
sexuality,
God.
but in terms of the concerns of sexual minorities and people who are living different lifestyles. And so
Absolutely.
it's not one size fits all. It's not one therapeutic outreach that fits everyone. And what is applicable to a vanilla monogamous heterosexual couple is not going to be applicable to a kinky polyamorous lesbian transgender
Yeah.
family.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it is definitely a big problem. I know that in my graduate school, the extent of the supplemental education that you could get for specialized populations in this arena was, well, I say queer. I don't remember exactly how they put it, but I think it was lesbian counseling, lesbian and gay populations. And there was your normal assortment of treating addictions and treating older adults and et cetera, et cetera. But that was the only population in this arena that we're talking about where there was any education. And even that was then further limited by the perspective. So the perspective that was offered, either by the professor or by the literature, there's nothing going on in further education about poly. There's nothing going on about, there's certainly nothing going on about BDSM. There's
Because it's often considered a pathology.
absolutely, absolutely. It's written in the DSM-4 as a pathology if it interferes with someone's way of life, right? The problem is that part often gets skimmed right over.
So, do you have any words of wisdom for those who are searching for professional help? Certainly, those of us who are living in metropolitan areas, we have a much greater opportunity to connect with people who are sympathetic and understanding and actually have some training. But for those people in Podunk and bumfuck, what do you suggest?
Well, the first thing I want to suggest is keep looking.
Good,
You do
good, good.
not have to settle.
Oh, good for you. I
You
totally
do.
agree.
Yeah. No, there's no reason to settle. And in fact, more and more therapists, although I will admit it, I'm not one of them, are offering counseling online
yes.
to those people who cannot find the resources
yes.
they need
yes.
in their hometown.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to start there.
Yeah.
Now, how do you keep looking? Right? I think that's a whole separate topic. And the way that I would encourage anyone, and that I do encourage people who come to me for a visit to keep looking, is to interview your therapist.
Right. Yes.
We work for you.
That's a novel concept, but it's so true.
Yeah. So if I'm going to work for you, why wouldn't you interview me before you hire me?
Right.
Interview your prospective therapist. And if you find one who's maybe kind of close, doesn't have all the info you want them to have, isn't educated on everything you want.
Yes.
My suggestion there is provide your therapist with literature.
Right.
Find the book that speaks to you about your sexuality,
right.
about your sex work, about your kink, about your partner.
Right.
Share that literature with the therapist and ask them if they would read it. That's how you let them into your world, because you're not always going to find the perfect
yes.
fit, but if you can find one who's close, this might be the way to push it over the edge.
Right. So in the same light, any words of wisdom for professionals who might be encountering someone who is a sexual minority in their practice, either healing or helping?
Yeah. Yes. My phone number is area 26.
Good for you. I love it.
I really believe strongly in both peer consultation and professional consultation.
Mm.
There are people out here who are familiar with how to work with all kinds of people.
Right.
And most of us are happy to share our experience, our information.
Right.
If we're going to share our professional expertise, it's not uncommon for us to ask for payment.
Right.
But the information is there to be had. And I don't believe that we weren't all taught. That is to say, I think all of us were taught that it is our job as therapists to educate ourselves.
Yeah.
It is not our client's job to educate us.
Oh, so true. And yet, I find... even talking to other professionals, and certainly I hear it from, disgruntled clients,
mm-hmm.
is that, the therapist says, oh, yeah, I know all about that. And they don't. And you can
right.
tell right off the bat, with their dismissive behaviors and comments and, snide remarks and stuff like that, that they haven't a clue. But, they're not interested in passing up, a live paying mm-hmm. client.
Yes.
And so, they actually lie, is that what it comes down to, about their capacity to deal with subjects that they know nothing about.
Well, and let's just set aside for the moment the ethics of that situation
right.
and how absolutely unethical that is. I won't deny that it's happening. I'm
yeah.
sure it's happening.
Yeah.
I would say my favorite question becomes, what does poly mean to you?
Yeah.
What does BDSM mean to you? I know what it means to me.
Yeah.
But I'd really like to know what it looks like to you.
Right.
So that then we move beyond the BDSM label.
Right.
The sex worker label,
yeah.
any of the labels, and we can move into the behavior,
yeah.
which is generally what's causing people distress in the first place.
Right. And it's interesting because I tell prospective clients or people who write to me through Dr. Dick, and I said, one of the best things to do is to watch the body language of the therapist that you're talking
mm-hmm.
to. And if they're squirming, if they're, tense, if they're
mm-hmm.
uncomfortable sitting in their chair or they get up or whatever they're doing, that'll give you an indication that, this is not territory that they're familiar with, and it's best that you thank them for their time and move along.
Absolutely. You bring to mind the advice that my best friend gave me a long time ago, and that is watch what's happening as if it were a movie, but turn the sound off.
Good for you. So it is. That's brilliant.
Isn't that great? That was Matisse. That was Matisse. Yeah.
Oh, is that right? Oh, well, you know, that woman is sex wisdom in high heels.
Yes.
Don't you know? Love her. Absolutely love her. You know, I was not too long ago invited to do a presentation to a group of physicians and on the topic of being sex positive. And
wonderful.
It was a group, a big group of physicians, but there was only a small group of people who, you know, attended this particular workshop. I guess they didn't want to deal with sexual issues. Mm-hmm. And so there was a small enough group that instead of having them, you know, sit in an audience, we just pulled chairs around in a circle, you know, to make it a little bit more intimate. It was threatening to them because they're physicians, yeah, and of course they have to be in charge and everybody has to have their own special space. And so it was really weird. And so I just launched into it and I said, so how many people here know what the term sex positive means? And not one person raised their hand. And I said, well, can anyone hazard a guess? And the couple of doctors who, you know, spoke said, well, it probably has something to do with HIV positive.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? And I thought, holy cow, we got our work.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just astonishing, astonishing, astonishing. And these are people on the front lines of, you know, sex education.
But doesn't that also tell us, Dick, something about the level of comfort that we have as patients revealing our truth to our doctors.
That's true enough. And if you you don't reveal your truth in an accurate sort of way, your physician or your therapist is going to have a really skewed perception of who you are.
Absolutely.
If they see bruises on you and it was something that was, you know, a consensual agreement, you know, power play and stuff like that, and they could misinterpret that completely and to the detriment of everyone concerned.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Interesting. So did this special outreach in your private practice grow out of this concern that us sexual minorities are being underserved?
No. No, it didn't.
Okay.
It came out of, I believe really strongly in serving the community that I'm a part of.
I see. Good, good, good.
And I am a part of all of the communities that I serve, either very directly or somewhat indirectly. They are all these areas, all these demographics, if you will, are close to my heart because they are a part of my life.
Right. So yours is not merely an academic interest, but it actually, as you say, you are part of the communities that you serve.
Yes, exactly.
How interesting. Yeah. And that's also, it seems to me, a really good indication when, you know, somebody is looking for a therapist. Is that person, you know, does that person, that therapist or that doctor, know other, you know, sex workers or trans people or gay and lesbian folks?
Right.
You know, that would be a good place to begin. So.
Yeah, I agree. I can tell you that I knew I wanted to be a therapist when I was 13 years old.
Really? No kidding.
Yeah. I didn't do it, but I remember announcing to my parents that I wanted to be a therapist because I wanted to help people to avoid the pain that I felt I was feeling. I was being bullied.
Oh, I see.
Among other things. We moved a lot, and I was experiencing a lot of bullying, and I was the smart kid, and I was always the new kid, and
I would have punched you out right there. That was enough. Smart, get out.
So I, unfortunately, I let something that an adult say to me deter me. I was told I was too selfish to ever be a therapist. And being 13 and selfish, I sort of took that as gospel and ran with it. And I went about my life then in other careers and in other ways and other expressions. And then finally, got to my late 30s, and it came all back around again to it's time.
Wow.
It's time. And in the meantime, I have gotten myself in deep in the LGBT community, in the sex work community, in the trans community, specifically. I have a knowledge that's inside of me.
Yes.
That doesn't have to come from books, because
right.
I have been living it.
Right.
Is there a way I can use this, as well as this psychology that I really dig on, to do what I always wanted to do in the first place?
Right. You write about your background on your site.
Yeah.
I completed my internship hours at Seattle Counseling Services for Sexual Minorities, where I also organize staff training in working with clients from poly, kink, alternative lifestyles, and created and co-facilitated a focus group to explore the mental health needs of the partners of trans people. Amazing. As a result of my training and my paths in life, I've had a wide variety of experiences in a variety of sexualities, genders, relationships, ethnicities, cultures, belief systems, employments, economic backgrounds, and expressions thereof. Whatever the nature of your background or issues, I can assure you I am prepared to be present with you, from vanilla to chocolate with sprinkles and everyone in between. I love it. This is what makes me so proud to be your colleague. So let's talk about that some. Tell us about co-facilitating and creating a focus group to explore the mental health needs of partners of trans people.
Sure, I'd love to. What happened during my internship was I was given the opportunity to lead groups, to do any number of sort of different projects in addition to meeting with clients.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted, for as much support as I was seeing happening at SCS and various other communities for transgender people, for people anywhere on that spectrum,
yes,
of transition, I wasn't seeing anything in terms of support for the people who love them.
Oh, it's so true.
Which is a big deal.
Yeah.
It's not a change that affects only the person who is altering appearance, hormones, anatomy, whatever it is they might choose to do. So I started by initiating a group. I wanted to do a therapy group once a week. Got the help of my colleague Gina Cinerighi, and we put it out there with flyers and announcements, and that we were starting this group for partners.
Wow.
And all you had to do was call and express your interest, so that we could vet the callers.
Right,
and
right.
And we had one call.
Oh, sad.
We had one call over weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And so what that got me to was what I ended up doing, and that was, well, if the partners don't want a support group, then it's time to find out what they do want.
Right.
So that focus group was about bringing in partners of transgender people to ask, how can we better support you? What is it that you, what needs do you have that aren't getting met? What needs do you have that are getting met well, but maybe not locally? People talked about a lot of things happening online. Was, you know, would it be of any benefit to have people show up in person? What can we do here and now? That was the purpose of that group.
Yeah, interesting. You said something on your site, and I can't actually remember exactly where I saw it, but you said something to the effect that there's such a thing as heterosexual and homosexual and bisexual and trans people, queer people, but there's no real word for people who love or are into or are grooving on trans folks.
It's true.
Isn't that odd? I mean, if we don't have vocabulary for it, I mean, then that really tells you what a deficit, you know, those folks are.
Absolutely. You know, being overlooked. It's true. And
the
changes, the ways that those changes affect the partners, including the invisibility that often happens.
Right. Yeah. Wow. That is so amazing. That really is amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's probably some, you know, really derogatory stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And that's really, you know, shame-based, you know, generally speaking, particularly for folks who, you know, are, you know, ill at ease, you know, with, you know, some of the off-handed remarks that, you know, people in the particular lifestyle. Like, I, you know, fag doesn't bother me because I've inoculated myself against that. Queer is I welcome that, actually. But there's a lot of people who are gay who those things still bite and hurt.
Absolutely.
And so so when somebody refers to somebody, you know, you're a trainee lover or, you know, this or that, and that can be hurtful still.
Absolutely. The tranny chaser is most... In my experience, anyway, it's the most conflictual term that's out there right now, and there is a huge camp of interested parties who are saying, that's horrible.
Yeah.
How dare you objectify my identity?
Yeah.
And another camp of interested parties who are saying, woohoo!
Yeah.
I'm on board, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes,
right.
I'm a tranny chaser, or...
Yeah.
I'm a tranny and I like to be chased.
It's like Chubby Chaser, and you know, Chubby's likes to be chased. It's exactly that. But I mean, for some folks, you know, that's just you don't talk like that.
Exactly. For some people, it's extremely painful.
Right. Interesting. I mean, this is just so insightful. In fact, when I read that on your site, I thought to myself, you know what? That has never entered my mind, and I haven't stopped thinking about it since I read it on your site.
Well,
so good.
Then my work here is done.
Yes, exactly. There you go. Okay. So you talk about a variety of sexualities, gender, and relationships. But wait a second. Are you saying that there are more than two of any of these things? We sure do get into a bind with this prevailing binary mindset where we are told that everything is either this or that or one thing or another, right?
Yeah, oh, I agree. Absolutely. But I want to be careful here because there are some people who find, in terms of transgender, mm-hmm. who find the binary, maybe comforting is the right word, the basis for what it is they're doing. Some wonderful people want to move from one pole to the other.
Interesting.
In gender, in sexuality, in sexual expression, in anything. We, as human beings, it's not uncommon for us to want to swing like pendulum.
Yes.
What do I believe personally? Personally, I believe it's all a continuum. And that no one of us exists completely on one end or the other. And I also know that I'm not original in this thought. I get that I didn't make it up.
Uh-huh. But it can't be repeated frequently enough. Because there are people who just believe that there's male and female, and there's gay and straight, and there's nothing really in between.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the problem with that binary that I see happen is constant self-loathing.
Yes.
Because so many of us try to get to one pole or the other,
right.
and find that we can't.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm of the opinion that we can't because we're not meant to.
Yeah.
But there is a societal structure out there that says we should.
Right. And there's also, you know, the belief in the popular culture that behaviors make us one thing or another. And I am inundated constantly on Dr. Dick's sex advice, you know, from people, mostly men, almost exclusively men, who said, you know, I had this thought, or I had this dream, or I had this fantasy, or I tried this once. Does this make me X, Y, or Z, mostly gay, because they're petrified of the notion.
Right.
And
oh,
just,
God.
But, you know, it's so much more than behaviors. I know, you know, ostensibly heterosexual men who are happily married and, you know, who play around from time to time with other men.
Mm-hmm.
They're not conflicted They know exactly who they are and what they are, but they're this is a little, you know, dalliance that, you know, makes them happy and, you know, helps them expand, you know, their sexual repertoire. What could possibly be wrong with that? So it's a curious thing, you know, that when we lock ourselves into this binary thinking, that it really excludes the possibility that, you know, this could be a whole lot more fluid than it appears to be.
Absolutely. And then the labels can become so restrictive.
Oh, it's true.
So, yeah, I'm over here on the side of, well, then, I mean, if you want a label because that makes you feel comfortable,
right.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Have one. Take your pick.
Because there's plenty.
Yeah. And then tomorrow, don't forget to take your pick again.
Yes. Oh, so brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Because it is, you know, it's a, it could easily be a day-to-day sort of thing.
We're all changing, you know, all the time, hopefully, for the better. Or we're all trying to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that. We're all trying to move forward. And if I'm holding on to a label that keeps me stuck, then maybe it's time to hang that up and try a different one.
Well, you know, but we hang on to things because we're afraid of alternatives or something that is unfamiliar to us, and that's why, it seems to me. And particularly if there is societal pressures, you know, placed upon us that, you know, we ought not do that, or good boys and good girls don't do that kind of thing, or they don't think this way, or, you know, God is going to get you if you do kind of stuff. I mean, those pressures are heavy and intense, and, you know, for people who are unfamiliar with stepping outside or coloring outside of the lines, that can be, you know, stultifying to any kind of growth.
Absolutely, absolutely, and in part that's why we're here.
Yeah, right. And I'm so delighted that we are talking about this stuff in such a casual sort of way, and in a fun sort of way, because, you know, a lot of people think that this is wrought with, oh my goodness, and the angst of it all.
Oh,
but, you know, we're humans. It's fun. It's human. It's humorous. It's all of these kind of things that make life worth living.
Yeah, I really believe pretty strongly in the whole pulling judgment back, not reserving judgment, but removing it, not just from people, but from choices and from labels, and they all just is.
Right.
It just is, and then the question becomes: so if it just is, then I can change the question from, is it right or wrong, is it good or bad, to, is it what I want, or isn't it?
Yeah. And would it be good for me?
Yes.
Right. Well, listen, I'm just looking at my clock, and I see that our time is up for today. I have about 5 more pages of questions for you. So if you don't come back next week, I'm going to cry for a week. There you have it. That's
just
it. I'm putting it right there. And then I'm going to tell Sandra. I'm here. And you know how she can get.
I do. All right.
Okay. So will you come back next week?
Absolutely. Thanks.
Oh, good, good, good. So before we go, would you give us your website address and walk us around a little bit and tell us what we can find there so that we can visit you in the interim?
Absolutely. Yeah, you'll find me at Rethink Therapy. That's all one word. Rethinktherapy.wordpress.com. And what you'll find is a pretty simple little site. The first thing you'll come up with is the homepage, which will tell you about me and my practice. It gives a little blurb for people who are seeking surgery or hormones around gender, what you can expect from me there, how to contact me. You'll find sections that explain the 20-minute session in which we get a sense maybe of whether or not whether or not we're a good therapeutic fit.
Right.
There's info there about my training and my orientation, theoretical orientation. and a disclosure statement, stuff like that. It's all, I've tried to make it as organized as possible. It's also got, you know, information about my fees, some workshops that I've been doing or that I might be doing in the future.
And we're going to talk about a good portion of that stuff next week.
Oh, great. Okay.
So, darling, until next week, we will be visiting you in cyberspace.
Fantastic. Thanks, Dr. Dick.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, what a terrific show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this time for part two of my conversation with Kristen Napick and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video On Demand. There is no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute sort of deal. And remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall darn sweet, huh? One final thing. I want to take a moment and invite you to check out my product review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now you can see what's hot and what's not in adult products. You'll find reviews of all sorts of adult goodies. Sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, herbal products, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is drdicksextoyreviews.com. And until next time, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.